Welcome to So Ordered, where we create audio readings of SCOTUS decisions to make them more accessible to the public. At the time of creating this podcast, the Supreme Court of the United States does not release audio of the court's decisions. Our mission is to make it so the public can be better informed on decisions of the court by using AI to generate audio of written opinions. The case before us today is Urias Orellana v. Bondi, docket number 24777, decided March 4, 2026. Before reading the opinion itself, here is a brief summary of the case and the questions presented. Douglas Humberto Urias Orellana, his wife Sarah Ileana Gemes Mejia, and their minor child are natives of El Salvador who entered the United States without authorization in 2021 and applied for asylum after being placed in removal proceedings. Urias Orellana testified that he was being targeted by a hitman in El Salvador. The immigration judge found his testimony credible, but concluded that it did not establish past persecution or a well-founded fear of future persecution, denied the asylum applications, and ordered the family's removal. The Board of Immigration Appeals affirmed, and on petition for review, the United States Court of Appeals for the First Circuit also affirmed, holding that under the substantial evidence standard of review, the record did not compel a contrary finding. The question presented was whether a federal court of appeals must defer to the Board of Immigration Appeals judgment that a given set of undisputed facts does not demonstrate mistreatment severe enough to constitute persecution under 8 United States Code, Section 1101. The court held, the Immigration and Nationality Act requires application of the substantial evidence standard to the agency's determination whether a given set of undisputed facts rises to the level of persecution. Under that deferential standard, the agency's persecution determination, including both its factual findings and its application of the statute to those findings, is conclusive, unless any reasonable adjudicator would be compelled to conclude to the contrary. The judgment of the First Circuit is affirmed. Justice Jackson delivered the opinion for a unanimous court. As a reminder, the audio is an AI-generated reading of a published opinion of the Supreme Court of the United States. The voice you will hear has been synthesized to loosely resemble that of the justice that wrote the opinion. All tone, inflection, pacing, and emphasis are produced by the AI model and should not be attributed to any justice. The text itself has been lightly adapted to aid in the creation of the spoken delivery. This is a project to attempt to make court decisions more accessible to the public, and any substantive changes during the reading are completely unintentional. Please visit supremecourt.gov to read the opinion published by the court. You can find a link directly to the opinion in this episode's description. As the audio is AI-generated, you may hear some audio glitches, including odd pronunciation, noticeable pauses, or repeated words. We're continually working to improve our process to reduce these, and we appreciate you sticking with us as we improve the listening experience. The following is the opinion of the court in Urias Orellana v. Bondi.
Petitioners Douglas Humberto Urias Orellana, his wife Sarah Ileana Gámez Mejía, and their minor child are Salvadoran natives who sought asylum after entering the United States without authorization. An immigration judge, IJ, denied their applications and ordered their removal, determining that they had neither demonstrated past persecution nor established a well-founded fear of future persecution as required under the Immigration and Nationality Act, INA. After unsuccessfully challenging their removal order with the Board of Immigration Appeals, BIA, petitioners sought review in federal court. The Court of Appeals affirmed the BIA's ruling, holding that substantial evidence supported the agency's persecution determination. We granted certiorari to determine whether the Court of Appeals applied the appropriate standard of review under the INA. We conclude that the statute requires application of the substantial evidence standard to the agency's conclusion that a given set of undisputed facts does not constitute persecution. Accordingly, we affirm. Petitioners entered the United States without authorization in 2021. Soon after they arrived, the government served petitioners with notices to appear in federal immigration court for a removal hearing. When they appeared as scheduled in an immigration court in Boston, petitioners conceded their removability but claimed asylum, along with other forms of relief from removal that are no longer at issue. Petitioner Urias Orellana was the sole witness at the removal hearing. He testified that a sicario, or hitman, from his hometown had been targeting him since 2016. that year, the Sicario shot two of Urias Orellana's half-brothers and vowed to kill every member of his family. To escape the Sicario's threats, Urias Orellana, Gomez Mejia, and Minor Child relocated within El Salvador several times over the next few years. After each move, Urias Orellana was threatened by men who demanded money and warned that they would leave him like his brothers if he did not pay up. One of the men even physically assaulted Urias Orellana when he returned to his hometown for a brief visit. The last straw came soon after Urias Orellana's fourth and final move in 2021, when he learned that men had been asking around town about the arrival of any newcomers. It was at this point that Urias Orellana, Gomez Mejia, and their minor child left El Salvador for the United States. Under the INA, the United States government may grant asylum to a non-citizen if it determines that he is a refugee. An asylum seeker qualifies as a refugee and is thus eligible for asylum if he is unable or unwilling to return to his country of nationality because of persecution or a well-founded fear of persecution on account of race, religion, nationality, membership in a particular social group, or political opinion. An asylum seeker can submit an affirmative application to the Department of Homeland Security or raise asylum eligibility as a defense to removal proceedings before an IJ. Urias Orellana and his family chose the latter path. When the government initiated removal proceedings against them, they defended by asserting asylum eligibility. The IJ credited Urias Orellana's account of the facts, but concluded that those facts were insufficient to establish either past persecution or a well-founded fear of future persecution. The IJ explained that, under First Circuit precedent, death threats may establish past persecution only when they are so menacing as to cause significant actual suffering or harm. Quoting Bonilla V. Mukase, 2008, the IJ concluded that Urias Orellana's past persecution claim failed under that standard, as he had not submitted any medical, psychiatric, or psychological evaluations indicating that he had experienced such suffering or harm. The IJ further found the evidence regarding Urias Orellana's alleged fear of future persecution to be lacking. He observed that Urias Orellana had successfully escaped danger after many of his relocations, and that any risk resurfaced only when Urias Orellana returned to his hometown or nearby areas. Given the dearth of evidence establishing past or future persecution, the IJ determined that Urias Orellana did not qualify as a refugee eligible for asylum under Section 1101A. The IJ determined that Gomez Mejia and Minor Child were likewise ineligible for asylum, as their claims were derivative of Urias Orellana's. So, the IJ ordered all three petitioners' removal. Petitioners appealed the IJ's ruling to the BIA. But the BIA affirmed the IJ's conclusion that Urias Orellana's testimony did not establish that he suffered past harm in the aggregate rising to the level of persecution. It also agreed that because Urias Orellana only had problems when he returned to his hometown, his testimony did not establish a well-founded fear of future persecution. Petitioners then sought further review in the United States Court of Appeals for the First Circuit pursuant to 8 United States Code, Section 1252B. Petitioners did not dispute that death threats may establish past persecution only when they are so menacing as to cause significant actual suffering or harm. Instead, they argued that the undisputed facts of this case met that standard. The Court of Appeals emphasized that its review was cabined to whether the agency conclusion that petitioners had not demonstrated past persecution or a well-founded fear of future persecution was supported by substantial evidence. Under that standard, reversal was warranted only if, in reviewing the record as a whole, any reasonable adjudicator would be compelled to conclude to the contrary. The Court of Appeals ultimately affirmed, concluding that Urias Orellana's testimony did not compel a finding of either past persecution or a well-founded fear of future persecution. In particular, it determined that the agency reasonably concluded that the threats experienced by Urias or Alana were not so menacing as to cause significant actual suffering or harm. It similarly determined that, because Urias Orellana was able to live in towns across El Salvador for years without harassment and only encountered difficulties once he returned to his hometown, a reasonable fact finder would not be compelled to find a well-founded fear of future persecution. We granted certiorari in 2025 to evaluate whether the Court of Appeals applied the appropriate standard of review when evaluating Urias Orellana's asylum claim. Section 1252B does not use the phrase substantial evidence, but it does specifically address the scope and standard for review that the courts of appeals must apply when evaluating IJ and BIA removal orders. As relevant here, each of Section 1252B's four subparagraphs truncates the court's review in a particular manner. Subparagraph A states that the Court of Appeals shall decide the petition only on the administrative record on which the order of removal is based. Subparagraph C says that a decision by the agency that a non-citizen is not eligible for admission to the United States is conclusive unless manifestly contrary to law. And, per subparagraph D, the Attorney General's discretionary judgment whether to grant relief under Section 1158A of this title shall be conclusive, unless manifestly contrary to the law and an abuse of discretion. This case involves subparagraph B, which provides that the administrative findings of fact are conclusive unless any reasonable adjudicator would be compelled to conclude to the contrary. This court has previously interpreted subparagraph B to prescribe a deferential, substantial evidence standard for review of agency factual findings. Substantial evidence, we have long emphasized, is more than a mere scintilla, but means, and means only, such relevant evidence as a reasonable mind might accept as adequate to support a conclusion. See Biestek v. Berryhill, decided in 2019. Or, to come full circle, findings of fact are conclusive, unless any reasonable adjudicator would be compelled to conclude to the contrary. Whether a given agency determination fits within the purview of subparagraph B and is thus reviewed for substantial evidence is not always clear. Indeed, the courts of appeals have split over the standard of review that should apply to the agency's determination that an asylum applicant has not established past persecution or a well-founded fear of future persecution within the meaning of Section 1101A. Some courts review the entire inquiry, both the underlying factual findings about what happened to the applicant in her home country, and the agency's application of the statute to those findings, under the substantial evidence standard. Other courts break down the inquiry into two parts, reviewing the agency's factual findings for substantial evidence and its legal conclusions de novo. Yet even those courts are not always careful when differentiating between factual findings and the application of the law to those findings, sometimes applying substantial evidence review to the entire inquiry. Today we resolve the proper standard question as it relates to the courts of appeals review of the agency's persecution determination. As explained in Part 3, we hold that Section 1252B requires courts to review the entirety of the agency's conclusions, both the underlying factual findings and the application of the INA to those findings, for substantial evidence. Thus, in the language of the statute, the agency's determination whether a given set of undisputed facts rises to the level of persecution under Section 1101A is generally conclusive unless any reasonable adjudicator would be compelled to conclude to the contrary. Though the courts of appeals apply varying standards to the agency's persecution determination, we have already concluded that these determinations receive substantial evidence review. Specifically, in INS v. Elias Zacharias, decided in 1992, we held that to obtain judicial reversal of the agency's persecution determination, an asylum applicant must show that the evidence he presented was so compelling that no reasonable fact finder could fail to find the requisite fear of persecution. To be sure, Congress amended the INA shortly after our decision. But those amendments, and the addition of Section 1252B in particular, codified the Elias Zacharias standard. As such, the statute as it reads today requires substantial evidence review for the entirety of the persecution determination. Like this case, Elias Zacharias began with an IJ's determination that a non-citizen was ineligible for asylum. Elias Zacharias had testified that he feared retaliation in his home country of Guatemala after he refused to join a group of guerrillas who had attempted to recruit him. But the IJ concluded that this testimony failed to demonstrate persecution or a well-founded fear of persecution on account of race, religion, nationality, membership in a particular social group, or political opinion as the INA requires. After the BIA affirmed, Elias Zacharias sought review in federal court. The Court of Appeals sided with Elias Zacharias, holding that a guerrilla organization's attempt to conscript a person into its military forces necessarily constitutes persecution on account of political opinion, because the person resisting forced recruitment is expressing a political opinion hostile to the persecutor. We reversed the Court of Appeals, however, reading the INA to require substantial evidence review. The version of the INA in place at the time of our decision did not contain what is now Section 1252B, but it contained a similar provision, which specified that agency findings of fact, if supported by reasonable, substantial, and probative evidence on the record, considered as a whole, shall be conclusive. We interpreted that provision to require substantial evidence review of the BIA's determination that Elias Zacharias was ineligible for asylum. More specifically, we explained that the provision set forth the substantial evidence standard for review, allowing reversal only if the evidence presented was such that a reasonable fact finder would have to conclude that the requisite fear of persecution existed. Though we did not explicitly use the term substantial evidence, our explanation accorded with how we have long understood that standard to apply in the administrative context. See Consolidated Edison explaining that a statute providing that an agency's findings as to the facts, if supported by evidence, shall be conclusive means, substantial evidence, and requires only such relevant evidence as a reasonable mind might accept as adequate to support a conclusion. We then went on to apply the substantial evidence standard to the entirety of the agency's persecution determination, including its conclusion that Elias Zacharias' testimony did not satisfy the legal standard for persecution. We explained that Elias Zacharias had failed to establish a well-founded fear that the guerrillas would persecute him because of his political opinion, with the degree of clarity necessary to permit reversal of a BIA finding to the contrary. In other words, even accepting his allegations as true, they were not so compelling that no reasonable fact finder could fail to find the requisite fear of persecution. Elias Zacharias thus clarified that the INA's provision for substantial evidence review encompassed not only the agency's factual findings, but also the application of those findings to the statutory standard for persecution. Indeed, following our decision, the courts of appeals overwhelmingly understood it to require substantial evidence review of the entirety of the persecution determination. See, for example, Clawitter v. INS 1992, holding that according to the Supreme Court, the board's determination that a non-citizen is not eligible for asylum must be upheld unless the non-citizen shows that the evidence he or she presented was so compelling that no reasonable fact finder could fail to find the requisite fear of persecution. Just a few years after we decided Elias Zacharias, Congress passed the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act of 1996, amending several provisions of the INA governing judicial review. Among other things, the 1996 Immigration Act added Section 1252B, clarifying the relevant standards of review for IJ and BIA removal orders. but section 1252b did not depart from our decision in Elias Zacharias. To the contrary, section 1252b stayed the course. Indeed, subparagraph b largely tracks our opinion in Elias Zacharias. Compare section 1252b. Providing that administrative findings of fact are conclusive, unless any reasonable adjudicator would be compelled to conclude to the contrary, with Elias Zacharias stating that, if an asylum applicant seeks to obtain judicial reversal of the BIA's determination, he must show that the evidence he presented was so compelling that no reasonable fact finder could fail to find the requisite fear of persecution. Thus, section 1252b effectively restates the pre-1996 Immigration Act practice of applying the INA's deferential standard for factual findings to the persecution determination. C. Bartenwerfer v. Buckley, decided in 2023, holding, this court generally assumes that, when Congress enacts statutes, it is aware of this court's relevant precedents. Supporting this reading of Section 1252b are the 1996 Immigration Act's other amendments to the INA, which tend to restrict, rather than expand, review of immigration-related determinations in federal court. The Immigration Act added, for instance, Section 1252a subparagraph d, which strips courts of jurisdiction to review certain types of removal orders entirely, restoring jurisdiction only for constitutional claims or questions of law. The 1996 Immigration Act similarly limited the scope of review under Section 1252b, even in the areas where courts retain their jurisdiction over removal orders. Not only does subparagraph b require deference toward administrative findings of fact, but subparagraphs c and d mandate that certain agency determinations are conclusive unless manifestly contrary to the law. Against this backdrop, it would make little sense to interpret subparagraph B as expanding judicial review beyond the pre-Immigration Act practice of applying deference to agency persecution determinations. Given the force of Elias Zacharias and the 1996 Immigration Act enactment history, we cannot accept petitioners' arguments about the applicable standard of review. Petitioners primarily contend that Congress meant for de novo review to apply to persecution determinations because Section 1252b requires deference only for findings of fact, and no subparagraph of Section 1252b explicitly addresses the mixed question of law and fact that is the determination of past persecution and fear of future persecution. With their focus on the metaphorical trees, we think petitioners have missed the forest. It is certainly true that the required persecution determination turns on more than just the facts. The INA's legal standard for persecution must be applied to the IJ's findings of fact. But Elias Zacharias and the subsequent statutory history suggest that Congress meant for the entirety of this kind of mixed determination, including both the IJ's factual findings and the application of the statute to those findings, to receive deference under Section 1252b. That makes sense because the overall determination of refugee status primarily requires the IJ to make critical factual findings about a given applicant's experiences in his country of nationality. And even where, as here, the IJ accepts the applicant's testimony as true, the IJ must make an antecedent determination on the factual question of the applicant's credibility. See Garland v. Ming Dai, decided in 2021, explaining that, during immigration proceedings, the IJ makes findings of fact, including determinations as to the credibility of particular witness testimony. Given that Congress has required the courts of appeals to give significant deference to IJ fact-finding throughout Section 1252b, it would be anomalous indeed to conclude that courts can review substantially similar persecution-related findings de novo. Our decisions in Wilkinson v. Garland, decided in 2024, and Guerrero-Lasprilla v. Barr, decided in 2020, are not to the contrary. In those cases, we held that a mixed question of law and fact could qualify as a question of law exempt from Section 1252A's bar on judicial review. But unlike Section 1252B, Section 1252A does not speak to the standards of review for removal orders. Rather, it addresses a court's ability to review removal orders at all. As a result, whether a given issue is treated as a question of law exempt from the INA's jurisdiction stripping provisions tells us nothing about the type of review the court must afford to that issue under other provisions of the statute. C. Wilkinson, recognizing that the INA's jurisdiction stripping provisions do not govern the standard of review. Neither case, then, requires de novo review here. Because the Court of Appeals applied the appropriate standard under Section 1252B when it reviewed the agency persecution determination for substantial evidence, the judgment below is affirmed. It is so ordered.